ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto number 9, Chapter 45, I'm sorry, Chapter 9, Canto 9, Text 45, the Dynasty of Asuman. Deva Kamavadatohu. Devai kamavarodatohu mayam tribhuvaneshwarai mayam tribhuvaneshwarai navrinetam aham kaman Nan vrinetam aham kamam Bhuta bhavana bhavanaha Bhuta bhavana bhavanaha. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The demigods, the directors of the three worlds, wanted to give me whatever benediction I desired. I did not want their benedictions, however, because I am interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who created everything in this material world. I am more interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead than in all material benedictions. Purport. A devotee is always transcendentally situated. Param drisva nivartante. One who has seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead is no longer interested in material sense enjoyment. Even such an exalted devotee as Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest for the sake of material benefit, but when he actually saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he refused to accept any material benedictions. He said, Swamin karto smi param nayache. My dear Lord, I'm fully satisfied with whatever you have given me or have not given me. I have nothing to ask from you, for I'm fully satisfied to be engaged in your service. This is the mentality of a pure devotee who does not want anything material or spiritual from the Personality of Godhead. Our Krishna consciousness movement is therefore called Krishna Bhavamrita Sangha, the associations of persons who are simply satisfied in thoughts of Krishna. Being absorbed in thoughts of Krishna is neither expensive nor troublesome. Krishna says, Manmanam avabad bhakto mam yuji mam namaskuru. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, offering obeisances and worship me. That's from Bhagavad Gita 9:34. Anyone can always think of Krishna without difficulties or obstacles. This is called Krishna Bhavamrita. One who is absorbed in Krishna Bhavamrita has no material benedictions to ask from Krishna. Instead, such a person prays to the Lord for the benediction of being able to spread his glories all over the world. Manma janmani janmani ishware bhavatad bhaktir ahoy tuki twahi. A Krishna-conscious person does not even want to stop his cycle of birth and death. He simply prays, I may take birth as you like, but my only prayer is that I may be engaged in your service. This is a thought prayer. He's thinking and he's praying at the same time. That's his Maharaj Kadvanga. He was offered anything he wanted from the devas. In the translation, it says here, the devas can do anything they like within the material world. So they have the power to give material benedictions on any level, practically speaking. Krishna gives them that facility. Maharaj Katranga, even from his early days growing up, he never was interested in anything material. And he continued his whole life that way, ruling the world by religious principles, and being the ideal king. Asked to fight on the side of the demigods against the demons, he fought in such a way that the demigods won. It was by his fighting that the victory was secured by the devas. So they said, Maharaj, take a benediction. Whatever you like, just ask for it. The thought of anything material never even entered into his mind. He didn't even have to consider, well, should I take something material or should I just ask for something spiritual? He never went back and forth like that. Sometimes we might think if we were offered anything within the material world, on any level, within any quantity or quality, we might consider, you know, in relationship to devotional service. Maharaj Gadvanga, he was thinking there's nothing else to desire but the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service. So when he was offered this benediction, he immediately said, just help me remember the Supreme Lord. That's all. Your time to leave your body has come. So he went to his palace and he simply thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in full devotion. A devotee doesn't want anything material. Why? Because they know all material things are both temporary and the sources of suffering. Even if they're not the sources of suffering, even if they give you some, what we say, permanency in some material situation where you can fulfill some desires in life. Say they secure your ability to have a nice family. You might think, wow, that's a nice benediction to have a successful family life. But then again, any material benediction can cause one to divert one's attention away from the real goal of life. And that's the real detriment of material desires or benedictions. They deviate our consciousness away from the real goal of life. Even if they don't cause suffering. But in the long run, they do. Because the real suffering is to be separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So a real devotee doesn't want anything in the way between Krishna and themselves. Anything that comes in the way, a devotee will think, what does this mean in my relationship to Krishna? Whatever it may be, in any form or in any offer that the one may be offered, anything. Just like we have the example, I think it's one of the most ideal examples in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the life of Kolavecha Sridhar. He had nothing, but he was satisfied simply by serving Mother Ganga, chanting the holy names of the Lord, and getting the opportunity to sell banana leaves and banana plates and banana cups. That's all. And he didn't want anything. Lord Chaitanya, when he would see Kolavecha Sridhar, he said, "You don't look at your clothes, you're full of holes. Your house is full of, it's not even a whole house." And people would criticize him because he would chant all night, loudly chanting the glories of the Lord. And they would say, just shut up, Sridhar, eat something. They'd throw him a gourd or a squash. But he was completely satisfied. He didn't want anything. And when Lord Chaitanya in his Mahaprakash Leela in the house of Srivas Thakur was giving out benedictions, the Lord took the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was giving out benedictions to anyone and anyone just simply asked for it. And no one was asking for anything material. And when the devotees were asked by Lord Chaitanya to find Sridhar, they brought Sridhar there. And when Sridhar saw that same person who was Nimai Pandit, who was coming to buy his banana leaves and banana cups, he simply was overwhelmed with loving emotion. And then finally, when he came out of his ecstatic, loving trance, the Lord said, Sridhar, please take anything you want. I'll give you an island. I'll give you a nice wife. I'll give you whatever you want. Just take it. The Lord wanted to give something. He wasn't testing him. It wasn't that sometimes we get tested just to see what is our, you know, or whether we're going to choose Maya or Krishna. But the Lord wasn't testing Sri. He wanted to give him something because he knew his devotion was pure. He wasn't going to change even a slight iota, even if he received material things. But Sridhar said, "My dear Lord, why are you making my life difficult? Why are you giving me something that I can't use? I have no use for these things. I'm simply satisfied in your loving devotional service. That's all. Just please come every day and harass me as Nimai Pandit and buy my banana cups and banana leaves." I mean, that to understand that level of devotion may take someone to be on that level of devotion to understand such quality of pure love. But this is the power of Krishna consciousness. When, what is it, Sudama Brahmana, Sudama Vipra, was asked by his wife, "Go to see Vaikuntha Krishna. He's sitting in his palaces. He's so wealthy. He's your friend. We're living so poorly. We have nothing. We're hardly eating from day to day. We only have one set of clothes. He was your friend in school together." He was kind of reluctant to go to ask the Lord for anything, but he went just simply to see the Lord. And when he came, the Lord was so happy to see his friend, he sat him next to him on his bedstead. Sridhar had a little bag of, Sudama had a little bag of rice that his wife had given him, broken rice, to offer something to Krishna, some offering. When the Lord saw what he had brought, he said, "What is this, Sudama?" Sudama was embarrassed. He was embarrassed because he was thinking, "How can I offer this to the Lord?" The Lord took it, and then he grabbed it and took one piece of grain of rice and he ate it. And then he was about to take another one. Lakshmi stopped him, said, "If you eat another one, my Lord, I'll have to give him everything." Because he was so pleased with Sudama's friendship and devotion that the goddess of fortune is inclined to give everything and anything just to satisfy the Lord's devotee. So, but he didn't ask for anything. In fact, he forgot to ask for anything because he was so happy just being in the association of the Lord. He didn't even remember why he came there, and initially was to ask for something, some benediction, encouraged by his wife. So he left. And when he left, he was feeling so happy when he was in his heart. He was so joyful just being in the presence of the Lord, how the Lord just showed so much kindness, care, and affection to him. And his mind was overwhelmed with happiness and devotion. And while he was walking home, he couldn't even find his house. And he came to the spot where he thought was his house, but it was completely different. The whole environment had changed. It became a beautiful palace. And he was thinking, "This is where my house is, I think, but that's not my house." His wife came running towards him. He was thinking, "Who's this beautiful lady? She's running right towards me." But then he realized it was his wife. She was all dressed in very costly garments. And then he realized, oh, the Lord actually gave something. But he was embarrassed. But the Lord wanted to give him something. So a devotee never asks for anything. A devotee asks just for, as Prabhupada says here, "Janmani, janmani ishvare bhavate bhakti ahoy tukito." He quotes the beautiful sloka from Chaitanya Shikshastika, that I don't want wealth, I don't want followers, I don't want the pleasures of the opposite sex. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives another addition to that. I don't even want to be known as a great scholar of the Vedas, to be known as a great devotee. I don't want any of these things. I don't want liberation. I mean, liberation is practically the highest material thing you can aspire for. It is. To be free from all material suffering. Eternally. But it says here, Janmani Janmani Ishvare Bhavatid Bhakti. Life after life, just give me devotional service. That's the real prayer. And Prabhupada says, what is that devotional service? To always think of Krishna. Man mana bhava mad bhakto mam yuji mam namaskar. And it's amazing what Prabhupada says here. He says, to always think of Krishna is neither expensive nor troublesome. Doesn't cost anything. It's free. And it's very easy. So we might take issue with that. How easy is it to always think of Krishna? Well, the mind, what Prabhupada is really saying, you have a choice of what to think of. That's what Prabhupada's saying. So why not choose Krishna? It's that easy. But then again, the mind doesn't always want to choose Krishna, because the mind wants to still look towards this material world to fulfill some desire. But the story of Sudama Brahmana illustrates how Krishna works with his devotees. That even if a devotee wants something material or some situation, but a devotee doesn't ask for it, he just engages in devotional service, he forgets about that. Still, the Lord, out of his kindness, reciprocates with the devotee. But a devotee doesn't think like that. Well, if I just gauge fully in devotional service and don't have any desires, then I know Krishna will give me something material. That's cheating. You can't cheat Krishna. But if one honestly simply wants devotional service, and why don't we simply want devotional service? Because that's the only thing that can satisfy the soul. Savai pum samparo dhammo yato bhakti ahoksaje ahoituki apriyata yatma supersedati. This is the first statement in the Srimad Bhagavatam that begins the process of explanation of devotional service. That what is it? It explains what it is. It is free from all material impediments, and it is free from all material desires. In other words, that's how devotional service is executed. So one still may be, what we say, attracted to material life. But that attraction is simply an illusion. That's all. Why is it an illusion? It's real. Prabhupada say material, the Mayavadis and other spiritual philosophers, they say this is all an illusion. It doesn't exist. But we say it exists, but what is the illusion? It's temporary. It can't fulfill the desires that it appears to fulfill. So that's the illusion. We try to satisfy material desires and we become unsatisfied. And that's the problem. You can't satisfy material desires because material desires are not satisfiable. The more you satisfy a material desire, the more material desires increase. And therefore, they're never satisfied. So to satisfy material desires, stop trying to satisfy material desires, and your material desires will be satisfied. Make sense? And you're all shaking your head. Yes, you're all great scholars of the Vedas here. That's the point, that if we want to find happiness in all aspects of life, just engage in devotional service, that's all. But a devotee's not looking for anything. But Krishna likes to serve his devotee. Krishna likes to serve his devotee. But what does Krishna give? Prabhupada said, if Krishna's kind to his devotee, he gives you what you want. But if Krishna's really kind, specially kind, the highest mercy takes everything away. We don't like that so much. Well, it's all right that Krishna takes away, but it has to be according to my scheduled plan. Don't take it away too fast, Krishna. Because if we do, then, you know, I might not be prepared for such, pure devotional service. But that is Maya. We're praying, seriously, to free us from the entanglement of material life, because that is the only form of suffering. Devotional service is susukam kartam avyayam. It's joyful on every stage. But what makes it difficult is that just like when you mix a little salt with the sweet rice, you lose the sweet taste. It becomes a little salty. Or just like, I know, sometimes you buy cheap rice and you get a few rocks in it. So the rocks don't taste so good. You just think maybe it's uncooked rice, but then when you break your teeth, it's not so nice. So that's material life. You know, you add a little, that is mixed devotional service. So Krishna only accepts pure devotional service. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says that Krishna in Vrindavan only accepts pure devotional service. When we pray to Krishna for anything material, that prayer goes to his representatives. And then they take care of it. But Krishna only accepts pure devotional service. Because that is the process. Krishna doesn't deal with material desires. He puts them under the charge of others. So what is a material desire? Anything that doesn't facilitate our surrender and devotional service. Even acting independently within the process of devotional service has a somewhat of a material tendency to it. I want to serve Krishna the way I want to serve Krishna. That's nice. Service to Krishna is nice. But that's more like karma yoga. Doing what I like and offering the results to Krishna. Better to follow the instructions of Krishna's representative, the pure devotee, who knows exactly how to give the medicine according to the level of disease. Therefore, we accept that medicine as the best of all cures. We can use our own, we can get our own medicines. We could go to the drugstore and think, well, I know I got my disease and I can figure it out which medicine to take. But it may take a long time, and the disease may also get worse. So a devotee only wants pure devotional service, or the opportunity to engage in pure devotional service. Even if we still have material tendencies or material desires, the best way is just forget about them. That's all. Don't act on them. They come, and then we have to recognize them. And when we recognize, just don't try to fulfill them. That's all. We know, after a while, you know, after practicing devotional service, you know what you should do and what you shouldn't do. Krishna sort of shows you through the process of your own devotional service, after a while, what is your attachments. But the most foolish thing is we think, well, I'll just do the same thing and hope to get a different result. People think like that. If I had the same thing, by doing the same thing, or acting in the same way, or thinking in the same way, one gets the same result. You can't change the result. One has to think in terms of how to execute devotional service for the pleasure of Krishna. That's devotional service. And Prabhupada takes this thing to a higher level. After explaining the mentality of a pure devotee, and a pure devotee doesn't want anything material in this world, simply wants devotional service, Prabhupada takes it to a higher level. He says, the pure devotee prays, or the devotee prays what? To be able to spread the glories of the Lord around the world. Takes it to another level. Not simply to be interested in one's own spiritual progress, but to take one's mercy that one has received from the spiritual master and distribute it to others. So he takes it on that level. So in other words, be an instrument to give Krishna consciousness to others. And anyone can do that. And everyone is qualified to do that. Prabhupada said, anyone can preach, just simply repeat what you've heard. That's all. And be an example for what you are trying to give to others. That's all. There's two ways, speaking and example. Example is higher than precept, actually. Even those who maybe are not so inclined for preaching, if they are a perfect example or trying to be a perfect example for the process of devotional service. Simply by that execution, they are preaching. Sanatan Goswami was glorifying Srila Haridas Thakur. Srila Haridas Thakur would chant 333,333 names every day, 192 rounds a day. Not easy. But he still had time left over to preach. He was preaching also. It wasn't like he was just chanting all day. He was spreading the glories of the Lord. He was actually preaching through chanting and preaching to others. So Srila Sanatan Goswami glorifying Haridas Thakur, he said some persons, they preach, but their behavior is not so good, not ideal. And others, their behavior is ideal, but they don't preach. But he says, you are the best of all Vaishnavas. Your behavior is ideal in all respects, the highest forms of Vaishnava etiquette, and at the same time, you're preaching the glories of the Lord. So, our Krishna consciousness movement is a movement for purifying the world. It's a movement, it's not a movement, of course, I just came from America, so I'm preaching like you're still Americans. I still have that tendency, because usually in our temples there, everybody's pretty much laid back. It's quite relaxed there. I mean, something's going on, but here, the energy is good. Devotees are out. They're preaching, distributing books. When I heard the book scores this morning, I was astounded. I don't think there's any higher score in the world than what I heard today. Somebody distributed 12,000 Bhagavad Gitas. Amazing. There's yatras that don't even distribute 12,000 Gitas for the whole Christmas marathon. What to speak of, like one day. That is incredible. Plus, there was 2,000 other Gitas and other books that were distributed. Over 14,000 books. That's preaching. Prabhupada said, flood the world with these books. And then everyone will, wherever they go, they'll run into one of Prabhupada's books. And somehow, maybe someday, they'll take it seriously. So that's preaching. So we want to spread the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by distributing these books, by inspiring people to take up the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is the essence of all spiritual practice. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Ram. And if one person becomes a devotee, we're so happy. Krishna is so happy. If one person comes, of course, we're not satisfied in that way. But Krishna is so kind and so mercy. If someone becomes forward and becomes a devotee, Krishna says, oh, that is wonderful. Krishna is very inclined to give his mercy to anyone, full mercy to anyone. Lord Chaitanya will give his full mercy to anyone who simply makes an effort to bring others to devotional service. So once one engages in devotional service by preaching, susukam karth, that's the higher taste. That's the taste we're looking for. And when we taste that higher taste, then we can, when we're confronted with material desires or opportunities to fulfill material desires or situations where we can act contrary to devotional service, they don't have any attraction. They become pale. It's like an old black and white movie. And when I grew up in America, they used to have, when I first brought television into the world, there was no color. Everything was black and white. And we thought that was pretty good. And then some of the movies they would play over and over again. had four or five channels, and you would watch the same movie. They would play it, they call it reruns. And then after a while, you get tired of the same movie because you know what's going to happen. There's no more surprises. It gets boring. So material life becomes like that. It's dull. The same thing. What is it? Intoxication. I think in the material world, when it comes to a holiday, I know in Western countries, people don't even know the meaning of the holidays anymore. They simply know, we got to get intoxicated. That's the purpose of the holiday. An opportunity to, you know, to go into a different level of consciousness. It's not up either, it's down. It's going from Rajagun to Tamagun and to below Tamagun. There is a place below Tamagun. I'll tell you about that later. So, in a devotee knows that anything, even it is explained that even to work nicely, to make money, to have a nice family, but without Krishna consciousness, it's a failure. Because the animals can also do that. They can have nice families. And they don't have half the problems we have. Not even one third. So any material arrangement that simply makes us forget Krishna or takes us away from the process of devotional service should be considered an obstacle. Like that. And that's what a devotee thinks. So a devotee wants only Krishna, the greatest of all. Because when one has Krishna, what is that verse? When you have Krishna, you have everything. But a devotee doesn't want anything. He just wants. A devotee doesn't even want Krishna. A devotee wants to simply to serve Krishna. That's all. And when Krishna is pleased, the devotee is happy. How do we know when Krishna is pleased by our devotional service? That's a question that comes up sometimes. How do we know when we serve Krishna if Krishna is pleased? And Srila Prabhupada was asked that question probably more than once. But I know, hearing his answer one time, he did say, when you're pleased. If you're satisfied in your Krishna consciousness, that means Krishna is pleased. That's all. And what satisfies Krishna? Devotion. But when that devotion takes its level by giving that opportunity to others engage in devotional service, then as Prabhupada says, this is what a devotee wants. He wants to be able to spread Krishna consciousness or to spread the glories of the Lord everywhere. So Maharaj Kadvanga, a king, great fighter, devotee in his whole life, was given the opportunity. He simply wanted to know how long I have to live, and he simply fixed his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He went back home, back to Godhead. So this material world and everything in it, it was, devotees were in Mexico, and they were on Harinam Sankirtan. Prabhupada was with the devotees. They were, and there was this gigantic garbage dumpster. And there was some writing in Spanish on the side of the dumpster. So this is where they saw their garbage. So Prabhupada says, what does that say? He's asking, what was that writing? It says, put your trash here. Prabhupada said, yes, we should put the whole material world there. As Dhruva Maharaj, Prabhupada quotes him. What did he want? He didn't want a kingdom. He wanted a kingdom that didn't even exist, greater than his great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. Something that he wanted, the kingdom that was impossible. And he was determined to petition the Supreme Lord to fulfill his desires. The Lord appeared to him And when he saw the Lord, he was embarrassed. He was unhappy to see the Lord because he was thinking, how can I possibly think of anything other than devotional service to you, my Lord? He was embarrassed by his own desires. So we learn from the pure devotees, what is the standard of happiness? That simply, even by a drug, it says that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that one drop of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes can simply drown the entire world in love of God. That's Krishnadas. He's realized Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So there's an ocean of unlimited happiness that cannot, it says in the Nectar of Devotion, that if you, the greatest form of material happiness cannot equal liberation. If you multiply liberation by millions of times, even that cannot come to one standard of the happiness of a drop of pure devotional service. So Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī gives us the standard. So I think we're all convinced, but at the same time, we still have the tendency towards material. So therefore, always pray to Krishna. And here Prabhupada says, keep Krishna always in your thoughts. Always remember Krishna. By practicing the process of remembering Krishna and engaging in devotional service. This is the mentality of a devotee. He doesn't want anything. He simply wants to remember Krishna and to spread the glories of Krishna everywhere. So we learn from the great souls. Srimad Bhagavatam is simply full of the stories of the lives of the great souls who are teaching us what is the standard of happiness and what is not happiness. Bhagavatam tells you what not happiness is. That even the greatest form of material happiness is simply an illusion or a diversion away from the real happiness. And that is pure devotional service. Okay. Any questions? Comments? Yes. Naveena Nirda Prabhu. What's the stage below Tamogun? You want me to reveal that? Okay. Can you better give him the microphone so everyone could hear his question?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. He said you're going to tell us what is the stage below Tamaguna.
Okay. This is a statement by Prabhupada, so you can just take it for what it's worth. Prabhupada was talking about the modes of material nature. And he was saying that talking about laziness. And Prabhupada, someone says, Prabhupada, is laziness a demoniac quality? Prabhupada says, no, it's lower than that. Because even the demons are active. So below Tamagun is lazy Tamagun. So if you really want, the laziness is the worst quality you could possibly have. Because even if you're, even in the material world, if you're lazy, nobody likes you. Yes? Any of our businessmen here? It's just the worst. Laziness, just, you know, you can't make it anywhere, spiritually or materially. Prabhupada tells the story of the lazy man. There was once this minister, and people in the kingdom were coming to this minister and saying, you know, we want some food, we want a place to stay. So the minister was trying to satisfy the different requests. And then he finally got tired and he went to the king. He said, everyone's coming and ask, they don't want to work, they want food, they want housing, they want other things. Am I supposed to give them that? The king said, what we can do is we can make a declaration. Anybody who is truly lazy, they can come here and they can have free food and we could have give them free lodging for as long as they want. And we'll build a gigantic house, and you could all come and live in there, and we'll take care of all your needs. So they did. So people started to come, and it started to fill up, and filled pretty soon was full. And then the king told the minister, okay, now set it on fire. So he set the house on fire, and then people started to run out. And then two men were in there. One said to the other one, he said, you know, it's getting hot in here. And everyone said, ah, don't worry, just roll over on the other side. And when the minister told the king this, the king said, you can give them whatever they want. They're truly lazy people. So the point is, when it comes to one's self-interest, laziness starts to evaporate, right? So that, I hope that answers your question. Any other questions? Yes. Anyway, if you, Ananta Nittai was supposed to give this class, so if you want your money back, you can just go to Ananta Nittai. He would have gave a better class.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji is saying Dandat Pranam, and if you are really meeting with us like this, so he will fall in love with you one day. He said.
Somehow I failed to catch every word of your statement. Can you please repeat?
He's saying if you daily meet us regularly, he will fall in love.
If...
Compliment.
Oh.
Thank you.
Oh, well, if you want to fall in love, you can just look straight forward. The most lovable and most beautiful object in creation is right in front of us. It's called Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, and his eternal consort, and Sri Sri Gornitai. Brajendra Nandana Ye Sachi Sutta Hoylo Se Balaram Hoylo Nitai. Balaram and Krishna have come as Gaur Nitai. Gopal Nachi, he's lifting Govardhan Hill. That's Krishna. So I think out of all the qualities that devotees are attracted to of Krishna, his beauty is one of the most outstanding qualities. So we want to fall in love. We can fall in love with Krishna. And when you fall in love, you won't want to get up again. Because that's the real, that fall will leave you in the best position. We want to, people in the material world, they fall in love, but then it's kind of like a fallout. It's what happens. It's like, you know, just after a nuclear attack, there's what is called fallout. That's a new one. I heard so many tunes, but not that one before. After a nuclear attack, there's called a fallout. That's what happens when you fall in love with material life. There's always fallout afterwards. But real, we will... What is that verse? Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhu Kabunai Sravanadi Siddhi Chitti Kodiye Udai. In the hearts of all living beings, love is there. It just has to be uncovered. It just has to be awakened, that's all. So by chanting the holy names of the Lord, by coming to see the Lord every day, offering our obeisances to the Lord, offering our prayers for devotion to the Lord, and associating with devotees and taking Krishna prasadam, that food that is offered to the Lord, we awaken that love. And that is really what the only thing that can divert our, what we say, attention away from it, Only when we have that taste of the happiness that comes by loving Krishna can we forget about these things that are so much a part of this material world where everyone is chasing in a very frantic pace. It's sad. I came into the airport in Mumbai, and I notice each time I visit India, it's becoming more and more like the airports in the West, full of modern amenities and liquor shops and all other things. I was shocked to see it. I was thinking, you know, India's wealth, India's treasure, India's heritage, it's in its spiritual culture. And now it's chasing after the West. Such a sad scenario. It's really sad to see that, because if you never had something wonderful, and then you take and you live a life away from that, that's sad. But when you have something, when you have a great treasure, and you reject it for some garbage, that is a travesty. That is a travesty. That is worse than sadness. That is like, you know, having a very rich and very loving parents and willing to give you everything you want and the best of everything, and you go living on the streets like a bum. You know? So it's sad to see. Very sad to see, actually. I was actually feeling, when I was walking through the airport, I was feeling disgusted when I saw that. Just to see that. Why is this very spiritual culture chasing headlong after these material things? When they can see, all they have to do is examine the countries that have that. They have all the problems. All the problems. Anyway, therefore, the spreading of the Sankirtan movement and the distribution of Srila Prabhupada books is the need of the time. Because if people get these books and they become a little bit reawakened in that goal of life, then we can save them from heading headlong into this, dark era of materialism. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.